This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at YouTube.com/The Dan Patrick Show.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb? And for Dan, the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. My guy Dan Beyer alongside, so too is Jason Stewart. Iowa Sam on the ones and twos, making us sound like pros, even we perform like Joes. Welcome in. Hope you had a great Easter Sunday, Masters Sunday. And, hey, the regular season is officially over, which we can start paying attention to NBA basketball that people care about, right? Sort of. A couple things here. I've always thought that in Major League Baseball, when you're in the play-in games, you're not in the playoffs, right? A play-in game is not playoffs, plural, plus they're a series. They're not. I think the same thing of the NBA. Now, one might say, hey, man, so does that mean the first four are not in the NCAA tournament? They just barely get in because the format is still the same. It's still one game in, and then it's one game the rest of the way. But we all know that your bracket is not due until Thursday morning, meaning that the first four aren't really in the tournament, right? It looks like the tournament, it sounds like the tournament, but it's not in the bracket, it's not the tournament. So, with that as kind of our guide, we give you the play-in games, so the play-in tournament. The Hawks will take on the Heat, and the Timberwolves will take on the Lakers. Okay? And then the Bulls will take on the Raptors on Wednesday. The Thunder will take on the Pelicans. Those are the 9th and 10th place games. 9th and 10th place teams, whoever wins, then you got to win. You got to win again, right, against losers of the Tuesday games, right? Of the 7th and 8th place teams. So the Lakers and Wolves, whoever wins automatically goes to the playoffs. The Hawks and the Heat, whoever wins automatically goes to the playoffs. And we just told you last hour that we don't know what happens with Rudy Gobert, and Jaden McDaniels is not obviously not going to play because he broke his hand punching a wall after the game. That's going to be an interesting lineup the Timberwolves throw out against the suddenly red-hot Lakers. And then you get to the actual playoffs, which will start this weekend. And because of how the season finished out, the Clippers play the Suns. That's an insane series. Insane. All right, Byer, what jumps out at you most with the end of the NBA regular season?
A couple of things. I think that the play-in tournament has actually been a success. I think that it's been a positive, but sometimes there are unintended consequences, and I think that's what you get with the Dallas Mavericks in terms of for as much as you want to think that still every team would like to compete, this isn't like the NCAA tournament where you can be a VCU and play in Dayton and then make a trip to the Final Four. Like, it is increasingly difficult to make a run when you are starting that far back in the bracket in the NBA playoffs. So while the play-in tournament has been, especially in the West, has been blessed because you've had Steph Curry play in it and you're going to have the Lakers play in it this year, that popped up is like, okay, maybe not everything is roses, where it benefited the Mavericks because of the Porzingis trade, because of their top 10 pick, to try to stay in the top 10 as opposed to get into the play-in tournament. That's what my main takeaway was from this weekend. For as great as the play-in tournament was and how you get these teams to try to compete, that was one fallback that I saw.
What about you, Jay Stu? What jumps out at you?
I think the Clippers, maybe. Clippers are a mess. They got into a little tussle on the bench yesterday. I remember a lot of people had the Clippers. It was kind of the trendy pick for the Clippers coming out of the West this past year. And they're limping in. They just seem to be bruised and bloodied. And I don't know if they even make it out of the first round of the playoffs. I thought they were pretty interesting coming into the season. And I've just kind of I've lost that feeling about them.
Well, you know, they made the big trade, and they got Russell Westbrook. They also got Bones Highland. That's who got into it with Mason Plumlee. That's where I said what happened between Bones Highland and Mason Plumlee is what usually happens. Dudes get into it on the sideline, and they get separated, regardless of the game. The difference is Rudy Gobert threw a punch at Jay McDaniels, right? That's therein kind of lies the difference. That's who Bones Highland is, right? He kind of he talked his way out of Denver, you know, wanted a bigger role, and those guys didn't want him around, and Denver feels the better because of it. And part of the whole Clippers thing is we got some guys that other people didn't want, like Russ, like Bones Highland, and we kind of embraced that. Clippers are missing Paul George, right? They have Paul George. It feels like a completely different narrative. I would agree with you. I was in on the trend of the Clippers, but no Paul George, and they're gonna take on the Suns in the first round. Yeah, that one doesn't feel like a great series for the Clips. But it also feels like a series that goes the distance. You know, that's the other part to it, is it feels like a really elongated first round of the playoffs.
You're going to get something good from those 3-6-4-5 matchups. You could add Suns Warriors. You know, like, I mean, that would – I think that actually would have been – that would have even topped Suns Clippers if you would have had – Suns Warriors in Durant against his former team in the first round. Now it's unfortunate that they're on opposite sides of the bracket, not to say that they can't meet in the Western Conference Finals, but that would have been the one to really top it for me.
If the Lakers move on, right, they take on the Memphis Grizzlies, is that right?
Yep. If they win against the Timberwolves on Tuesday night.
Yeah, they will play the Memphis Grizzlies. And then the Golden State Warriors will take on the Sacramento Kings. Now, that you want to talk about a place where I don't think Sacramento, despite the fact they're a 3 seed, can beat them 4 times in 7. But, man, I want to see him try. You know, Sacramento is, if you think that Oakland is the ugly stepchild to San Francisco, where Golden State left behind, I give you Sacramento, who first time to make the playoffs in, what is it, 13 years? Is that what it is? That arena has been on fire, and De'Aaron Fox has had an incredible year. So too has Sabonis. Like, that's going to be a fun series. And why do I think Golden State will win? I mean, just because they're Golden State and they have guys that we've seen win in the playoffs. But that'll be fun.
Has anyone called that series the Battle of the Interstate 80? By the way, if not, I would like to kind of coin that phrase because, you know, they always do the, you know, the Battle of the Five Freeway with the freeway series here down in L.A. But up north, that's Interstate 80. I used to live up there. I've gone back and forth between Tahoe and San Francisco. Interesting interstate. You know, a lot of interesting cities along the way. Vallejo, Woodland comes to mind. something else there's an Air Force base up there, but Interstate 80, Battle of the Interstate 80. That's my thing. I'm going to coin that phrase.
I like how it rolls off. Like, it's just an easy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Rolls
Battle
off the
of
tongue.
Interstate 80.
I don't think it rolls off the tongue.
What?
I don't think it rolls off the tongue. There has to be a more clever nickname. Sacramento's like actually sneaky kind of nice, and San Francisco has a lot of spots. San Francisco is a great city, but it has some spots where not nearly as nice as reputation. Both have incredible new arenas, right? Sacramento's is actually probably cooler, even though San Francisco's is a little bit newer. How about Boston, Miami as a first round series? Cleveland, New York as a first round series. Philly, Brooklyn would have been great, but none of the people that we want to see play for Brooklyn, although this Brooklyn team seems to be the better because of it, also first round series.
Heat would have to beat the Hawks on Tuesday night to set that series up with the Celtics, but it wasn't the prettiest Eastern Conference Finals last year. I think we get sucked into the name brand. The East really took a hit with Brooklyn making their trades of, sorry, maybe the Knicks, maybe the Cavs can carry that torch. You would have had a really good, you know, Eastern Conference semifinals if maybe Brooklyn would have stayed together. Would have hurt the West, but would have been really good. I don't know. If the Knicks advance and go on, maybe if you've got that intrigue there, they'd probably face Milwaukee, and then you can have your Sixers-Celtics matchup if the seeds hold. But, yeah, the West is going to be where all the eyes are.
I think it's interesting, though. We do this thing where, because all of us, and I even think people who, you know, follow the NBA religiously will admit they don't watch all the games. It's been impossible to really gauge how good some of these teams are because so many of them have sat so many of their best players for long periods of times or in important games. So we don't really know on some of these teams, but it does feel like the West is a lot better than its reputation. You know, like, well, the West is a mess this year. Like, is it? Denver's fully healthy, and even though Jokic hasn't had playoff success since the bubble, this is the first time that they feel like they're back to that level. You know, Phoenix, they were the one seed last year, but you had Kevin Durant. I mean, you have two dynamic scores. I think the Clippers aren't as good as they should be on paper without Paul George. Golden State now, with the expectations that Wiggins is going to play, they're back at full strength for the first time in what feels like forever. Memphis, maybe not as good as the two seed, but definitely a team that as soon as they win a playoff series or, you know, they'll get the respect that they so desperately desire. And then the Lakers, you know, you want to talk about guys that you expect to play deep into the playoffs. LeBron James and Anthony Davis are absolutely two of them. And the question becomes how much of that matches up with the reality now, right? Like, how good is LeBron really at the top level of the NBA? You know, because he didn't guard anybody anymore. And there is a lot of just catch and shoot or in transition go downhill. Like, he's not the same guy, nor would any of us expect that of him at that age. What does that look like in playoff basketball, especially against a team as youthful and as easily hateable as the Memphis Grizzlies?
Well, as you go down from 1-7 in the West from the Nuggets down to the Lakers, the Nuggets are the only team really that doesn't have questions, but they're actual question is, can they get it done in the playoffs? But if you go down 2, 3, and 4, you had Memphis and dealing with Ja Morant. Kings are new to the party. You mentioned the Clippers with no Paul George. You just talked about the Lakers. Even the Suns and meshing everything together with KD being out when he was out. Everybody's kind of got this. Okay, we're not necessarily sure. The Warriors having their questions, but we see the Warriors' name and we say, okay, all of that is true, and it is also probably true that I think there's a really decent chance that the champ actually comes out from the East, but it's the chaos of what could happen with the Western Conference that is probably going to hold this over for the next 6 weeks.
Jay Stu, you're the most like reasonable TV viewer of the three of us, right? Like, Dan and I are going to watch every game. You're much more
most.
Of a... okay.
Yeah, yes. There's some I may have to tap out for,
right?
But yes.
I get it, but yes. like you're a Milwaukee, you're a Bucks guy. You're gonna watch all those games. We're gonna watch the top level games. You're more of a discerning viewer. Am I using that word correctly? I don't know. Discerning viewer. What intrigues you about the first round?
Top level stuff is the Warriors. I will watch them all the time.
Do we want them to win? Here's the question. Do we want the Warriors to win?
I do. I think that the NBA is better off the longer they stay in the playoffs.
Why don't you want them to win, Dan?
I get Warrior fatigue. You know, like they're just it's all in your face. You know,
Is it Draymond fatigue?
No, it's Warriors fatigue. I think that they have players that are, you know, like Draymond, you know, can be the villain. But there's no way you dislike Klay Thompson. There's no way you like dislike Steph Curry. It's just you can't do it. But it's just the Warriors brand that just is so in your face. You know, they fall off the map and they come back and they end up, you know, winning an NBA title again. And it's back how things once were. I didn't mind cheering for them in terms of hey, let's go for one last go around, one last title, if that's, you know, fine. But that's not what this is. This is still, you know, who knows what's going to happen next year. But I don't think we look at them like that, of like this is a last go around. Heck, they're, you know, defending champions. So,
but there is a sense that this could be the last go around, right? Like, what are they going to do with Draymond? You know, what do they do with Wiggins, you know, who barely played this year? You know, what do they do?
Yeah.
I mean, I cheered for the
Jazz in 98. You know, like, I just, you know, I was done with the Bulls.
Yeah. No, I get it. I grew up as a Celtics fan because everybody in Southern California was a Lakers fan. It's just like, I get it. They're great. I like the Celtics. You know,
I should clarify, I never even started with the Bulls, and I wasn't a Bulls fan. The Warriors were a team that was likable, and then all of a sudden they're unbeatable. You know, and then you're like, all right, this is a little too much. Let's even this out.
Lakers-Grizzlies, to me, if the Lakers can win this first play-in game against a Timberwolves team that's a mess, that's fun, right? You got a bunch of dudes who so desperately, like, and they're so much more athletic than the Lakers. But they've never done anything in the playoffs against the Lakers, who I don't think anybody would argue LeBron is past his prime. Still an incredible player, but past his prime. Anthony Davis, you just hold your breath every time he falls down because you think he's going to grab some portion of his body. And, you know, they have some young pieces as well. I just, that one to me actually feels like a whole lot of fun. Even if the Grizzlies they're a bit much for me. Like, I get it, you're good, but, like, dude, you haven't done anything yet. Literally nothing that actually matters. And the idea of Memphis Golden State to me just seems like a whole hell of a lot of fun, right? Because that's the team that Klay Thompson just counted his rings against. Right? Now you have, you know, Draymond and casting a shadow on everything going on at the other bench. Like, the world needs Golden State versus Memphis. Let's just be honest. More so than Golden State versus the Lakers.
Sure. Yeah, I could be down with that. Absolutely. And it's a good mix. You know, as I said, like, I think Suns-Warriors would have been the ideal, craziest first-round matchup we've ever seen. Suns-Clippers is a magnificent consolation prize. And just of how it's set up, like, the West is going to be amazing.
This is the best part, you know, Steve Ballmer, who is a beloved owner, like, right? Like, you talk to people in the league, like, man, I'd love to. He's building the arena they're building is incredible, right? Like, they're doing all the right things. But here's where sports is just unfair. You know, you finally kind of got your team right. You got a great coach. Kawhi Leonard's a great player. He's an unbelievable player. Unbelievable. And you don't have Paul George. And you face the Suns in the first round of the playoffs. Like, wow, that's where sports is not, life isn't fair, but sports especially so, not fair.
If you're a Kings fan, quickly, you know, in the battle for I-80, if you're a Kings fan, do you relish seeing Golden State, seeing, you know, the rival down the road or not?
No, they want to see the Lakers, right?
So,
like, if you're in Sacramento, you grew up hating, despising the Lakers. Right, and now you're young, you're on the come up, and the Lakers, you got a chance to vanquish the Lakers with LeBron. Like, that's the one they want. They didn't want the Warriors. Like, last time the Warriors played in Sacramento, the place is half Warriors fans. They wanted the Lakers. That would have been absolutely insane. Intelligence runs in the family. Innovation runs in the family. Extraordinary runs in the family. the Mercedes-Benz range of SUVs. Every member is waiting to impress. Learn more at MBUSA.com. That's MBUSA.com. Former star quarterback Carson Palmer raised some eyebrows this weekend with his comments about Joe Burrow in comparison to Pat Mahomes. Want to hear him? They're next on the Dan Patrick Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform. And one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required. And you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Doug Gottlieb, in for Dan and the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio, alongside my guy Dan Beyer, Jason Stewart, and of course, Iowa Sam with the 80s tunes. We'll get to the Carson Palmer story as part of our discussion with Adam Kaplan. Adam's our Fox Sports Radio NFL insider. He also hosts Inside the Birds podcast. And Adam, yesterday when many of us are watching Jon Rahm win the Masters and, of course, trying to figure out what the NBA playoff brackets look like and what the hell's going on with the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Baltimore Ravens sign Odell Beckham Jr. Now, here's the thing about the $15 million that he's going to make. $15 million in cap space, they only have like $6.9 million in cap space available. What does this signing mean for the Ravens this season?
Okay, a couple things here. There are ways to do this deal. In fact, I haven't got the breakdown yet, but I'm almost certain on your question that it's going to go the way I'm going to explain it to you. So they're called avoidable years. Let's say in this case, he's got $15 million fully guaranteed at signing. There's a large signing bonus and probably a veteran minimum base salary. So what you do is you spread the cap hit over 4 years. So you have cap numbers in future years when he probably won't be on the roster. So he'll take some dead money hits in future years, but this gets him under the roster on a very low cap number this season. I'm almost sure that's what's going to happen. The Saints and Eagles do these the same exact way because it's called cash over cap. you spend the cash with the cap that you don't have, but you spread the cap hit over four seasons. It's almost certain to be that way, to answer your question. Now, so what happened here? Why did this happen? First of all, as I understand it, OBJ and his agent, who I saw 2 weeks ago at the owners' meetings, the Ravens were one of the teams to talk to the agent. And this is out of character, guys. I don't know how much you follow the Ravens or study what they do. They almost draft and develop at every position. They'll sign selected free agents, but they typically go with their own players, particularly at receiver. But what happened was they were so beat up physically last season. They brought in DeSean Jackson, Sammy Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson. They were struggling, and Rashad Bateman, who was a first-round pick in 2021, he broke his foot. He's got the Lisfranc injury, which is basically a 9-month recovery. And they believe it. By the way, it's his broken left foot that he had. It's his left foot. They believe he'll be ready late spring to start working with them. He's rehabbing now, and from what I understand, it goes pretty well. But they just don't have anybody. And OBJ is the top veteran receiver out in the market. And what's really interesting about this, and when I say over out of character, the top receivers in free agency guys got paid $11 million. Alan Lazard, 4 years at $11 million a season. Jacoby Myers, 3 years at $11 million a year with the Raiders, and Alan Lazard with the Jets. And the Jets were not going to pay him anywhere close to what he was looking for, but they were going to, from what I understand, it was going to be a decent number. But the Ravens knew to get him, to get OBJ not to meet with the Jets today. By the way, that meeting was going to be this morning with the Jets officials and coaching staff. They had to get this deal done last night. And again, this is not what they do. When you say, yeah, this kind of deal came out of the blue. The money is not what they typically do. That's the thing that blows me away.
Okay, so what does it mean for Lamar Jackson?
Well, the two know each other. It's not going to change anything unless Lamar all of a sudden changes his feeling, because he does not want to play on the non-exclusive tag, which is the lesser tag of the two in terms of money. Nothing really changes now. By the way, both sides have talked over the last month. This is not like they have ignored each other. But until they could find a middle ground. There's no middle ground because he doesn't have an agent. It's not like, okay, what's a bridge kind of deal here? They don't have one yet. That's what's holding this deal up. Lamar's not willing to take a bridge deal. That's typically the way you get these deals done, is you find a compromise just to get the player in. They don't have that yet.
Is that because both sides kind of know the ship has sailed, that he's not going to get an offer, that no one's going to sign him to an offer sheet as well?
Well, Dan, first of all, the Ravens sure know this because they – understanding, because he's non-exclusive, if a team wanted to sign him to an offer sheet, they would have to know about it because they get a copy of it. Then they would have 5 days to match it or let him walk for two first-round picks. And by the way, that's part of this. We haven't talked together for a while on this. The holdup, part of the reason, as I learned at the owners' meetings, is nobody wants to give up two first-round picks. As a GM told me at the Combine, and he thinks this will wind up happening closer probably to training camp, if it does at all. He said, look, if you want to get this player, you tell the Ravens, look, we want the player. He's interested in us. Let's talk about doing less than two first rounders. In fact, how about a 2024 first and a 2024 third? Now, the Ravens might say, listen, we want a first rounder this year. We don't want to wait till next year. And that because remember now, it's not like the Ravens have another quarterback in the roster who could replace Lamar.
So, wait, help me out. You think my problem with the idea of waiting till closer to training camp is everybody's going to have their quarterback.
No, I know that.
Be sort of set.
Right. See, the teams don't really want to give up their first round pick this year. That's the other thing that they're struggling with. Because if you give up your first, you're not going to get away with just giving up your first and nothing else. And I'm with you, Doug. I think if I'm the Ravens, I must have a quarterback this year, and I have to get that in the draft. Unless you're looking at Trey Lance of the Niners, there's just nobody available. It's just too late in the process. You would have to go toward the draft.
What does this mean for the Jets now? I didn't think they needed OBJ anyway, but I mean, is it just, are they set and Aaron Rodgers just needs to come aboard?
Well, a couple things here, guys. Mecole Hardman's coming off his first major injury. He's been pretty healthy in his career, but he's coming off an injury. Denzel Mims has not worked a second-round pick. Corey Davis is on the final year of his deal, and he's making over $10 million. That's a player to watch here to see if he's going to be with them, you know, over the next couple months. They felt that they needed one more receiver. You know, Alan Lazard is making $11 million. It's going to be Garrett Wilson and Lazard are your two starters. Once Hardman gets healthy, he'll be their third. I just don't know where Corey Davis fits in. The thing about OBJ is he could play inside or outside, and they wanted him for they wanted his savvy and his experience. And don't forget the job that he did 2 years ago coming over to the Rams. That was pretty remarkable. Quite frankly, they were not winning a Super Bowl. They were not getting there without OBJ. It was pretty remarkable what he was able to do with Stafford.
All right, there's three quarterbacks who everybody thinks are going to get extensions this offseason, and we're still waiting, right? You got Burrow, you got Herbert, and you got Hurts as well. Obviously, you do the Inside the Birds podcast.
Yeah.
Where are the Eagles and Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, they've had talks with his agent, Nicole Lynn, going back to late last season. It's just a matter of, because they want this done, like, I hate to say ASAP, but they want this done sooner rather than later, where they're kind of on Hurts' timeline. And if you're in Hurts' ballpark here, you really want to watch and see what the other two quarterbacks get, because those two quarterbacks will not get less than $50 million a season. They can't. I mean, that's just with the cap going up, this is the first year of the big TV money. The cap's going to go up and up and up. The floor should be $50 million a year, which is Rodgers' deal, which obviously was phenomenal, but that should be the floor going forward, and they could average between $52 and $53 million, based on what I've heard. So that's kind of where we're sitting here with those three quarterbacks, and that's what this is kind of going to be the new norm, the $50 million range for all the quarterback, the young gun, so to speak, going forward.
Adam Kaplan joining us here on Dan Patrick Show. What about the Panthers and Bryce Young meeting tomorrow? Do we read anything into this outside of it being a top 30 visit?
No, I'm told they actually have had this plan for about a week and a half, that Bryce Young was going to come in. Here's the thing. They were at his workout. They've gotten to know him through the process. He is probably, if you polled 32 offense coordinators and quarterback coaches, they would probably tell you he's just a better quarterback than C.J. Stroud, but you worry about the body frame. That's something that it's going to be a problem for some teams. I don't get the picture, folks, based on what I've heard for the last week or so, and I know they've been in front of him. I don't think that's going to be a deal breaker. That's just my sense, okay? That's just my sense. Checking into several league sources on this one, and that's where I'm at with that quarterback. And now, by the way, C.J. Stroud's a really good quarterback. If he doesn't go one, I fully expect him to go two, unless somehow the Texans trade out. And remember last year, the Texans blew it. Not drafting Sauce Gardner. That was a major mistake. And Gardner is already elite and already one of the best cornerbacks in the National Football League after one season.
Yeah, I think that actually the most interesting guy at quarterback in the draft, you have Bryce Young, who's tiny, but checks every other box.
Yep.
Hendon Hooker is an interesting one, right? Because he is coming off an ACL, but was on track to win the Heisman. But he's going to be 25 years old during his rookie season. Does he go in the first round or fall to the second round? And, like, he's one of those, go ahead.
No, I was going to say is what I'm told is, on your point about the age, it's not a factor, because quarterbacks, as we know, could play in their late 30s, early 40s, as long as they're healthy. Now, this kid's coming off an ACL injury back in November. I would have probably put him at number three had he not gotten hurt. Surefire first-round pick, super high character, good mechanics. The knock on him is when NFL people put his tape on, they don't see a lot of throws where you go, wow, that's a throw that he was under duress. He had a lot of time to throw the football, but he's a really polished kid. I would say right now, probably back of the first round is the earliest he'll go. Here's the way he's explaining to me is, if you have to be a front office that knows it's not getting fired, that know it's going to be there a long time, and you're going to let him sit this year because he's just not going to play. I mean, by November, December, he might be able to dress as the second quarterback, maybe play if the team's out of the race, the playoff race. But the fact of the matter is, you can't count him for the season at all. You're just assuming this is going to be a redshirt year. You have to be comfortable. And by the way, the coaching staff has to be on board with that as well. But you can feel there's a pressure to draft a quarterback. It's kind of like Jerry West, when Jerry West would draft all these guys because they were drafting late and you didn't have to worry about because, you know, he wasn't getting fired. Well, that front office staff has to say, you know what? We don't need him to play this year. It's not going to matter this year. He's eventually going to replace our veteran. That's the way to look at that one.
I don't know what to believe over these next 3 weeks, but is there a possibility the Texans, because of their two first-round picks, could wait on the quarterback or use that second first rounder to maybe try to move up at two, or
Dan,
is that just
unless
baloney?
They love Will Levis, and Will Levis has got a lot of talent, had a rough final season at Kentucky. His 21 tape is really good, by the way. That's where coaches struggle that I've spoken with. Unless they just don't let's assume it's, well, we know it's going to be Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud at one. So they take typically you just take the other guy if you're picking number two, because if you wait, so the tiers, it's Young and Stroud in the first tier. After that, it's Levis and Richardson, and then it's Hooker only because of the injury, and then they're all backups. By the way, the way the league looks at the other guys after the top five. Is they're all backups. There's not a starter projected in the next group.
Okay, there are a couple other things going on that are of interest in the league. San Francisco, you mentioned Trey Lance, and most people think he's available. Like, what's their plan? What's their actual plan? With Sam Darnold sitting there with a ton of experience, you know, and then, you know, you got Brock Purdy coming off surgery. What's their plan as we're in April?
So, guys, when they ended their season in Philly, when they met, they decided they were going to go forward with Brock Purdy as their starter no matter what. Now, when I say no matter what, once he's healthy enough to do so. Now, he took the less invasive surgery, his elbow surgery. Their hope is that he will be close to or pushing 100% by late July, and maybe he does very limited work in their mandatory minicamp in June. So, look, once he's ready, he's their guy. They made this decision. I don't necessarily agree with it, but that's what I was told privately back at the Combine. And everything that John Lynch said publicly and also Kyle Shanahan said would suggest that's the case. Now, if they move Lance, Darnold's the backup. Darnold's just an insurance policy. What's interesting is before Purdy got hurt, they were never thinking of adding a veteran. They were just going to have Lance back up, and they would have to have a third quarterback in training camp. Could it be a developmental guy? But because, remember now, we have to also mention, Lance is coming back up from the second procedure on the same ankle that he broke. And he also won't be ready till spring. They had to have another quarterback in there. And now, Darnold's got a lot of upside. He's not going to make a ton of money. But if he has to play, he plays a decent amount of snaps, the incentives are very large in his contract. Because when you look at it, he only got a one-year deal worth $4.5 million. But he's got $6.5 million in incentives. That's obviously built to how much he plays.
Awesome stuff. Adam Kaplan, you can check out the Inside the Birds podcast. Of course, he's our Fox Sports Radio NFL insider. Cap, thanks for joining us. Never a dull moment in the NFL. Appreciate you being our guest.
All right, guys, thank you.
Intelligence runs in the family. Innovation runs in the family. Extraordinary runs in the family. Mercedes-Benz range of SUVs. Every member is waiting to impress. Learn more at MBUSA.com. That's MBUSA.com. All right, coming up next to the Dan Patrick Show, we'll have our own play-in game. I'll explain next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Doug Gottlieb in for Dan, the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show, alongside my man Dan Beyer, Jason Stewart. So if you listen to the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio, it's daily, 3 to 5 Eastern time. We got an hour live podcast after that called In the Bonus. 12 to 2 Pacific, hour live podcast In the Bonus. At the end of the first hour, we like to play a game. We thought we'd do it for you again today. So I'll hand it over to Jason Stewart. You're going to run the game today, correct?
Yeah, you know what? Dan Beyer is the game master. He's great at coming up with not only the games, but the names of games. So every time I do one, I feel a little bit inferior, but I'm going to try today. In fact, yesterday when I bounced this concept off of Dan, it got such a ringing endorsement. He was so impressed by the concept, he never returned the text.
That is true.
Yeah, that's true. Because it starts like this, guys. Since the NBA starts their play-in tournament tomorrow,
I probably could have helped you with this had you actually included me on the group text.
That's another good point. But then again, just like the first hour, Dan's the golf guy and Dan's the game guy. I just went right to him for each of those. But you're right, okay. Doug. I should have included you. Now, since the NBA is doing their play-in game, why don't we play an in-game? Here's the concept. I'm going to give you items that have been trending in recent years, and you just tell me if they're still in. Are these things still in, whether it be sports or pop culture? I asked Sam, Iowa Sam here, to come up with a generic bed for the game, and he came up with this. So if you hate it, it's on him. All right, you guys ready?
Yes.
Okay. Doug and Dan. And by the way, the tiebreakers will be broken by Iowa Sam. Doug, is it still in to not like Kyrie Irving?
Oh, it's very much in. Matter of fact, it's almost to the point, I understand what you're saying, where you feel a little sympathy for him. Because you're like, dude, he hasn't been bad, and yet he's getting blamed for the Mavericks being atrocious down the stretch. I get what you're getting at. I don't think we're to that point yet.
Also because I actually agree with Doug. We never blame Luka for anything. And it's all Luka could be out of town. Luka does this, Luka does that. Luka could be requesting a trade, and the Mavericks just completely fall on their face. I still think they should have done the deal. I have no problems with them doing that trade. It just didn't work out.
Is it still in to crush Aaron Rodgers for all of his idiosyncrasies?
Well, you're the last defender of Aaron Rodgers.
I love his idiosyncrasies.
You love Aaron Rodgers. You're like, look, he says things which are patently false or makes things up, but at least he says them with an honest look on his face. Yeah, I still think it is. I think it is. I know what you're getting at. You think he's going to tear up the season, give everybody the bird, and keep going on McAfee and telling it like it is. Yeah, I still think it's in to crush him because he can be so odd. So odd.
I think we're going to have about a week or two of it because once he's in New York, I think it's a different story. And it's not a diss at all on the Wisconsin media. It's going to be a different story in New York.
Again, for the listeners who are just joining us, since the NBA is doing a play-in game, we're going to play the in game.
I got it.
You see that?
I see what you did there.
All right, Doug and Dan.
Yeah.
Wordle. Is Wordle still in?
No.
No.
It's not.
No.
Played about twice a week.
Yeah, once my mom started sending me hers, I was like, yeah.
How about when Jay Stu screenshotted his answers and sent it to all of us?
I still play every day.
Yeah, still play every day. Yeah, but there was a way to share your results without us knowing what the word was.
Yeah, correct. No, that was a faux pas. That was a faux pas. Ted Lasso. Is it still in to love Ted Lasso?
I think yes. I actually just yesterday watched the newest episode. And yeah, they're going down an interesting path there. People haven't seen the last couple episodes or this season in terms of one of the players, which does feel sort of cliche for when things jump the shark. But yeah, I still think it's in.
Now, before Dan answers, I need to tell the listeners that Dan has never really liked the hype of Ted Lasso. Or now, I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Dan, but you've never really fed into the hype of Ted Lasso anyways. So maybe we'll have our first tiebreaker here.
I have watched Ted Lasso. We are a little behind on the season. I can't stand how everyone does backflips over it. Like, it is people putting up believe signs in actual locker rooms. Like, what are we doing here? Like there's only
you
so...
You don't believe in believe?
It's just so, like, it's just so lame. I just, you know, it's a fake club. And, you know, people are treating it like it's Manchester United in their own minds. Ted Lasso. Like, it is way too overboard. It is a good show. It is an enjoyable show. It just, people go way too overboard.
Yeah, so what you're saying is, it's a lot like, hey, I don't hate that team, I hate their fans.
Yes, yes. Right? That's exactly what it is.
All right, first tiebreaker. Sam, Iowa Sam, is it still cool, or is it still in to be into Ted Lasso?
Can I have an opinion if I've never seen a single episode of the show?
Yes.
Okay, I've heard that the new season is a little too much nostalgia and not enough creative writing. Therefore, I'm out. That was the wrong button there. I'm out. I'm out. I meant to hit the Brady I'm out drop there.
All right, quickly, guys, quickly. As the NBA is doing their play-in game, we're playing the in-game. Marvel movies. Is it still in to like Marvel movies?
No. Just so many of them. What's this new one? Blue Ant or Blue something? Blue Cricket?
Ant in the Multi-Universe? Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm excited about Guardians of the Galaxy 3. I'm not going to lie to you.
I am too. I love that franchise.
Yeah. The new ones where they just come up with, like, yeah, I don't.
Have you guys seen Mandalorian?
Yeah. Actually, I'm up to date on Mandalorian. I like Mandalorian.
It was a joke.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
It's all right.
I took that one.
Well, you know me in movies. I don't know.
So you have a unique perspective on this. So you think it's still in to like Marvel?
Like, as opposed to like DC Comics?
Just in general, like when you
DC
sense
Comics
on Twitter
completely
and stuff.
Jumped the shark, yeah.
Yes. I'll say yes. For the tiebreaker.
I'm out.
Yeah, I think that the whole multiverse thing has
That's our tiebreaker? That's our tiebreaker?
He's out.
I'm out.
Mmm.
That's it, guys. That's the right. We played the in game.
I like that.
Because the NBA is doing their play-in game. Yeah.
I think the best part of that game is Jason's explanation of the obvious multiple times within it. Let's get into that Luka Mavs thing, right? Who's to blame for that smoldering dumpster fire in DFW? We'll tell you next. This is the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What makes a Mercedes-Benz EV different? Electric is what gets you there, but Mercedes is what moves you. Like no other automaker can. The vehicle, all electric. The feeling, all Mercedes. The choice is all yours. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQ.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
weekend?
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it. 10 a girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.